delegation to tell him that Bell has left it there.
That, I don't know the exact number, but there are 10,000 Jews are waiting for them, for him to be their rov. They're waiting. So how can you can't keep us waiting? So sure enough, that statement hit a resonant chord in his heart, and he said, "Oy vazoy, I can't keep 10,000 Jews waiting." So he packed his bags and went back to Brisk. So the Chofetz Chaim, who was to some extent a contemporary of his, I outlived him, but certainly with an overlap in years. So this story apparently is making the rounds in Europe, so he's able to use it as an analogy. So he said, imagine if 10 million Jews would turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and would say to him, we're waiting for the Gilui of your Malchus, we're waiting for you to return to us. What an immense roshem that would make. If even a boss of Adam, who's here today and gone tomorrow, and his rachamim compared to the rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nothing. So even Abbas Adam took that statement to the heart, so certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu would hear our tefillah. So that's what the Chofetz Chaim was giving chizuk for davening for Gula, that it should be with his slav as Gedola, and it should be with as many Jews as possible. And as we know, this is not the only place we daven for Gula. We also daven for Gula in Kaddish. It's Gaila v'Kaddish Mei Rabba, as the Mepharshim explained, based on the Gemara in Brachas, Taisa Staf Gimel there, and Brachas Staf Gimel, that the prayer for the Hashem's name to be great and to be complete and to be known over the whole world is ultimately a tefillah for Geula. We daven in Aleinu for Geula. And the second paragraph, after we recognize our unique destiny that was given for us as Klal Yisrael in the first paragraph, in the second paragraph we say that we recognize this destiny as part of the world's destiny. The whole world, they should abandon their false beliefs and recognize you as the only God. And then we look forward to the day of. So these tefillahs, as all tefillahs are, but with a special emphasis, should be said with great earnestness. And as we mentioned before, also from the Ari, that the words Yosef Kvinik Aliyom should be said with extra kavana. That one should chas v'shalom not lachamei v'etzrim have to present himself before the heavenly court, and they ask him, "Did you long for Gula?" and to answer in the negative. So here, at least in that phrase, kishvas kvinik aliyom, to try to conjure up emotions of wanting to see the fruition of Hashem's plan in the world. We desire your Yeshua. You will bring about every day and also every part of the day, as Mepharshim explained. Not only kol yom, but kol hayom. But every minute of the day. I wanted to just add a few other comments on this bracha. First is an interesting note that has nothing to do with the final gula per se, seemingly, but apparently a Sephardic tradition recorded here by the Sha'arei Tshuva in the name of the Mahari Tzemach. I assume it's one of the Sephardic Gedolim, that every day, we mentioned this in the context of the bracha of Re'ena Vanyenu, that speaks about Geula too, but Lefi Pshuto, it's not referring to the final Geula, it's referring to redemptions within the exile, personal redemptions, the Klal Yisrael's redemptions within the period of the exile before the final Geula comes. So he says that it's especially effective to have in mind in these words, Lishuascha Kivino Chalayom, that I await your salvation every day, not only for the final Geula, but for your many salvations before that as well. And he writes that's very effective. It's a very effective tool for being saved from various travails that life we encounter within our lives. He says, V'gam ani mechavein letzapos, Yeshuas Hashem, she'osim ono latzileinu mikama, pegaim ra'im, b'chol yom, b'chol rega. U'matzoti to'elas gadol, kama po'amim, le'idos batzora. That by having in mind in these sentences that Hashem should we should merit Hashem's continued protection and salvation, he says it was effective. Interesting, I never really knew how these Gedolim, unless he must have been a Kabbalist or something, how did they know that particular line was the Nakuda that saved him? Maybe it was because of his Sechuyos or the Chus of his ancestors or other Tfilos. So it's interesting, I guess they must have had an inside track.
And one day I was wondering, he said that when he said Baruch, he knew.
Yeah, Rechnei Mendoza, right. No, it's the beginning of the tefillah. Okay.
He didn't have to daven yet.
So maybe you're right, and maybe he felt it somehow by saying those words that opened up the Shaar HaShemayim.
He was, Rechnei Mendoza was known to have a special stuff.
I generally don't make it a habit of going through the Shaar HaTshuvos, even though I really should. This is not the Shaar HaTshuvos of Rabbeinu Yonah. It's one of the first attempts at collecting Achronim on the Shulchan Aruch. You have on the side here of Or HaChaim. So this quote is by one of the commentaries in the Otzer Tefillah. This is the Rav Zundel, who wrote commentaries in the Medrash and a few commentaries in the Siddur. The Eitz Yosef, the Anaf Yosef, he quotes this. There was one final idea I wanted to mention. That's as follows. This is from the Iyun Tefillah, from Rav Gordon. Lishuatcha kivina kol yom. How do you translate that? Or you could backtrack as well. V'karno torum, it's referring to the keren, to the pride, or literally the horn of, which is a reference to Mashiach. Farshim point out it's also specifically relevant to Mashiach, even though generally you speak about keren, it means the pride, a state of exaltedness of some individual or some concept. It's also because the Mashiach was anointed with a keren. David HaMelech was anointed with a horn. So there's a special reference to Karen when it comes to Mashiach. This is a Karno Torah, that his horn or his pride should be elevated. Bishua Secha. How do you translate that? So the simple shot would be with the salvation that you, Hashem, bring about. Bishuascha Kivina Kolayom, meaning we await your salvation, meaning the salvation that you bring about. But of course, grammatically, if you wanted to be very literal about it, you could read it as your salvation, meaning you're being saved. Now, of course, that seems to be a heretical notion. What do you mean, Hashem is being saved? It sounds like a different religion. But nonetheless, we have an interesting theme that appears, especially, I think I mentioned this before as well, in Hoshanis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kiviyachul, so to speak, however we understand this, he threw his lot in with Klal Yisrael. So kind of I don't know how to say the words, be very careful how you say these things, to push himself, even if Klal Yisrael are not motivated sufficiently to do what they're supposed to be doing in order to bring about Hashem's plan in the world, but Hashem threw in his lot with Klal Yisrael, so that should drive him to bring about Gula as well. Let's give a few examples. We mentioned before in the bracha of Mogen Avram, the very first bracha, that it concludes with Umei Vigol of Nevenel Man Shemo, for the sake of his name. And this seemingly is a reference to a theme that is elaborated upon throughout the Nevi'im. One Navi that comes to mind in this regard is the Navi Yecheskel, where he stresses that at the end of days I'm going to act lama'ani, lo lamanchem, not because of you, because you're going to blow it and you're not going to be doing what you're supposed to be doing. But I'm going to bring about kiddush shem shemayim in the world that's currently mechulal bein hagoyim. These are the words of Yecheskel. That Klal Yisrael are called the Jews, God's people, whether they like it or not, and whether they choose to hide it or not, they're always labeled by the entire world as the people who are representing a Kadosh Baruch in the world. And that's why, without even having any embarrassment or of the enormous dual standard that's always applied, you know, here in Lebanon, they're bombing each other galore, and they just saw in the news last night. So there were two militants who were killed in this refugee camp that Lebanon is burying, and another 18, you know, civilians. Okay, big deal. So then no one's protesting or doing anything, and yet when Israel tries to defend itself and a precise missile that somehow, you know, is a millimeter away when the terrorists are actually deliberately staying there, so all of a sudden the world screams. So when you ask them, why the double standards? And sometimes people, without embarrassment, will say, because we expect more from you. So, nice happens to be that that's a little too much to ask of more, but where does that all come from? Because whether we like it or not, we are the world's guilty conscience, because we represent the Kodesh Baruch in the world.
It's true.
And it's for positive and for negative. Here, it's in a certain way negative, because we're held up to standards that are ridiculous. But to the extent that we do have to have a higher standard. The beautiful idea that, you know, I heard from a student of mine who wrote, he didn't know what to answer on a test that I gave. So he says, I don't know the answer, but I'll give you a vort. So, but it was a good vort. I always say it over. He got it from, he used to live in Chicago, and he heard this from Avaron Soloveitchik Zatzal, or in his name, apparently, who also lived in Chicago was a Rosh Yeshiva there for many years. So he quoted a vort at the end of his Osa Bracha. It says, V'ata al bomo semo sidroch. That you, the Jewish people, will step on their high places. So Lefif Shuto, it means that you're going to be victorious over your enemies. So apparently Avraham Soloveitchik put a twist on that and says that your foot will be on their high places, meaning that the beginning of your morality will have to be at the height of the nations of the world morality. That's the extent that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of us. That your basic, everyday morality should match the highest standards of the Ummah Olam. So absolutely, as Mark pointed out, it's certainly correct that we do have to hold ourselves up to a higher standard. But I'm just pointing out, sometimes even in a ridiculous way, where the world knows that and sometimes uses that against us in a way that even doesn't make sense.
All of Hashanah talks about that.
I'm sorry? Yeah.
All of Hashanah talks about
that. So exactly what...
I'm sure, but it's all
focused. Right, so what Mr. Brazil just mentioned... So that's part of Hashem's plan, that he wants to help. He loves Klal Yisrael so much, so he chooses to throw his lot in with Klal Yisrael. So Hoshanis is especially at tefillah, especially at the end. First of all, we say Ani Vahu Hoshiana. So Lefi Pshuto, even though Vahu is also a name of Hashem, so we're davening to Hashem that he should save us, but Mefarshim explained it means that Hashem should save Kiviyachol, him. He should save himself. When he save himself? This idea that because he threw his lot in with Klal Yisrael, so and Imanochi Betzara, that Hashem, so to speak, is with us in our tzaras. So by Hashem saving us, he's also bringing about a Yeshua for his revealed Shechina in the world. Again, but that could mean master who saves, right?
Right.
You know, it depends how you interpret it. Right. But let's say you say Koshata. Let's take a look if you have the Sidurim. It's a see these lines inside on page 346. You have Kyoshata Goy, second line of the we end the Hoshanah with this whole paragraph here. Page 346 at the end. Oh, even the first line Kyoshata Elim Belud Imach B'tzeis Choyesha Amach. When you save the mighty ones in Lud, I think there's a reference to a city in Mitzrayim, if I'm not mistaken. Imach, with you. When you save them with you. When he saved them with you, it's Imanoshe B'tzara. Hashem was with us in the exile, so when he saves us, he's like saving Kiviyachol, so to speak, his divine presence. Kashata Goy Velokim, as you save the nation, and that nation's God, meaning yourself. Drushim Liyesh Elokim. And then you have allusions in the text. If you look, let's say, on line 6, Kashata Kano Mishareres Vayosha. When you save that foundation that sang to you Vayosha, which is a reference, of course, to the Shira Sayam, Ligocha Mitsuyenes Vayivosha, that you could read that not as Vayosha, that he saved, Hashem saved, but that he was saved. All of these ideas are highlighting that same notion of Hashem Kiviyachol, so to speak. We have to all keep adding that because we don't really understand the depth of these concepts. So the Ian Tfila suggests, I think in this context, that you don't have to say that that's the pshat, but it certainly is a theme that's true and it would fit. The Karno Torah Bishua Secha can be read as that his crown or his pride, meaning the pride of Mashiach, will be elevated through your own, so to speak, salvation, where you bring about a Yeshua for your own name that is bound with Klal Yisrael. We mentioned in the past, and I think it bears repeating, that Rabbi Yaakov Milisa was most famous for his commentary on Chayesh HaMishpat, which is studied all throughout the yeshivas and yeshivas HaMishpat. So he wrote some other commentaries on Tanakh and also the Haggadah, classic commentary on the Haggadah called the Maisa Nisim, which is quoted and expanded upon and elaborated upon. It's a very, if you will, a foundational a commentary that many others built upon. So one of the main themes he develops in the Haggadah, based on the first paragraph of the answer, the Vadim Yinul Fire Mitzrayim, Il Lahoitia Kodis Baruch was Abbasin Mitzrayim. So everyone asks, what do you mean if Hashem hadn't taken us out? We would still be there. What do you mean? But there's no ancient Egypt anymore, so we certainly wouldn't be there. The nations would have freed us, whatever, emancipation, something would have happened. So his pshat is, Ilu Hoytzi Akharash Baruch Hu Esav Aseinu Mitzrayim. If he brought it about in a way where he himself did not throw his lot in with Klal Yisrael by creating such miracles. So by creating such miracles, one of the benefits of that is so Moshe Rabbeinu, when Klal Yisrael were in trouble and Hashem wanted to destroy them, so what did he use for tefillah? How could you do that? But you threw your lot in with Klal Yisrael. The nations of the world are going to say, look how God is treating his own nation. If Hashem hadn't taken us out and done it in that way, then he would be, so to speak, a little more detached from our destiny, and he wouldn't necessarily have, quote-unquote, I mean, I use the terms by way of analogy, a vested interest in taking as much care of us. So that's what he stresses in the Haggadah, that because Hashem took us out, so now we were able to have an eternal kiyum. Not just the fact we went out of Mitzrayim, but that constant protection through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's graces, precisely because he took us out himself, and because of that monumental event, threw his lot in with us. Again, even the name of Yisrael, as been pointed out, includes the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which also highlights that idea, Yisrael, etc., so on and so forth. Okay, so this is the last comment I wanted to make on this bracha, a very short bracha. Certainly more to be said, but we'll stop with that. Let's move on to the next bracha, which is the last final bracha of the middle brachos, the brachos and se'ios. It's to some extent called the bracha koleles, because it's Shema Koleinu, to hear our tefillos, on the Rabbi Wein's tape on tefillah, which is part commentary of tefillah, part history, as most of his material is, because of this always has historical insights. The shul had a copy of those acts before they ran away, including my own guilt for that. So he mentions that in Yiddish there's an expression, and I never heard these things. In Yiddish expression, this is a Shema Koleinu inyan. What does that mean? The Shema Koleinu inyan meaning a general topic. Are you talking about it? Are you talking about the grocery shopping, whatever? So apparently in Yiddish is such an expression, because this comes to this bracha. Shema Koleinu is a general kind of bracha that is a tefillah for Kabbalah Satfila. I think that's what the art scroll entitles it, Kabbalah Satfila. Mm-hmm. We're davening to Hashem to accept our tefillah. So there's much to be said about this bracha, and we'll try, Beis Hashem, next week to analyze a little more of the details of the bracha, but I wanted to end off today with just an insight that was given by Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, which carries us as well into the next bracha. The tefillah includes a reference to Hashem accepting, davening, that Hashem should accept our tefillah, berachamim v'ratzon. Rachamim is with mercy, ratzon is his favor. As the Mefarshim point out, to some extent that implies the following, that ratzon is when we're more deserving, then Hashem willingly accepts it. And even if we're not so deserving, so we'll have rachmanis. So that's rachamim v'ratzon. But we note that our tefillos are referred to in different ways. In the first phrase, Shema koleinu Hashem alakeinu chos rachamimu kal rachamim v'ratzon as tefiloseinu. So it's in the singular. It's in the plural possessive singular. Our tefillah. Tefillah seinu. Tefillah shelanu. Then we say, Ki kol shamea tefillos, v'sach hanunim ata. You are the one who hears prayers, in plural. Okay, so that's not surprising, because what are you going to say? Ki kol shamea tefillah? We could say that, but referring to all prayers. U'milfanecha malkeinu reikam al tishveinu. I have a Nusach Sfar text over here, so I want to use the Nusach Maz, okay. Ki ata shomea tfilas amcha Yisrael berachamim. One second, I skipped over here. Yes, okay, we have tfilaseinu in the singular, tfilos in the plural. And then we go back again at the end in the singular. Ki ata shomea tfilas amcha Yisrael berachamim. If you're referring to the tfilah of amcha Yisrael, so it should be tfilos. It should be earlier. Ka'abel v'rachman rotzon es tfilo seinu. Our prayers. What do you mean our prayer? And let's contrast that with the next bracha, which Rav Soloveitchik was trying to figure out in a yardside drasha, trying to develop that theme of why the need for the next bracha, because it seems to be saying the same thing. Ritzei Hashem lokenem amcha Yisrael uvisfilo son. Same thing, rotzon, right? Hashem should willingly accept our tfilos, but here it's in the singular. And if you look carefully in that bracha, toward the end it says, "Tfilasam also only in the singular, never in the plural. Okay, so you have two similar brachos, one that has singular and plural, and one that just has singular. So what Rav Soloveitchik developed in this Yahrzeit Rasha, amongst many, many other themes, was the following idea. That based on the Rambam and other writings as well, and they quote this in the name of the Arizal also, that the purpose of Chazar HaSashat is not just to be motzi, those who don't know how to say the Shemone Esrei, which it certainly could do, and that's what the Mefarshim asked, that nowadays that pretty much everyone's davening from a Siddur, they don't really need a Shliach Tzibur, so why don't we eliminate it? And indeed, there is one community that did exactly that. That their Rabbanim maintained that this was not a Gzeira below Plug, a Takana forever. It was when relevant. So if it's not relevant, you don't have Chazar HaSashat. The Spanish Portuguese synagogue does that. That's true, maybe. I don't know. I don't want to. I think someone once mentioned it to me. It's not the normal practice, but it certainly has halachic merit. But it sounds like in the Rambam, and again, as we mentioned, it's something that redeveloped as well, much like is true concerning many of the other Takanas of Chazal. That's one aspect behind it, but there's more to it. And the more to it is that the tefillah of the chazan serves as the collective tefillah of the group of individuals who are there. It serves as the tefillah satzibur. So the way the Rav put it, to use different terminology, when you're davening at home privately, so that's tefillah sayochit. There's no tzibur whatsoever. When you're davening with a minyan together with everyone else, silently, so that's called tefillah bitzibur, which has additional merit because it's the collective merit of all those who are davening. The way Rav Hanach Teller once put it is, Shlaim is a big bal tzaka, and Moshe has a lot of kavanah in davening, and Sara up there in the Ezra's Noshim is a big bal chesed. So you put it all together, and then that collective merit presents itself before Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the answer to the tefillos is predicated not just based on your own merit and your own kavanas, but based on the collective group. Tefillah bitzibur. That's why we know that the halacha even allows us to skip certain portions of the davening in order to make tefillah bitzibur. Just davening with a minyan and answering Baruch Hu and Kedusha and Kaddish is one madrega, but that's not really tefillah bitzibur. That's why for Ma'ariv, as it's fairly well known, we'll even skip the whole Birchas Kriya Shema and the Shema and go straight to Shemon Esrei to daven Bitzibur and then make up the rest later. Say the Birchas Kriya Shema and the Shema afterwards. During Shacharis, you don't have an option to do that because you have to have Birchas Kriya Shema and the Shema before Shemon Esrei. But you could skip certain portions of Sukkot Zimra, etc., and make it up or don't make it up. It's different in Hagim whether you make up those parts or you skip later. So that's Tefillah Bitzibur. Then you have the Chazan who's davening a Tefillas Hatzibur on behalf of the congregation, with everyone listening in and entering Amen, etc., and it's as if they're davening. So, although this particular nafka mina that I'm about to mention is not universally accepted, but even if you go with that approach, but Rav Soloveitchik thought that a ramification of this should be that you have to all stand at attention during Chazar HaSashat, as you would when you're davening, because you are davening through the chazan, but you have to be, you're being yotze with Shemei Ka'ona through his tefillah. And you shouldn't answer Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, because when you're being yotzei to bracha, and that's what this others had as well, that he was very makbid that every single person in the shul should be finished Shemon Esrei by the time they're davening the longer Shemon Esrei on Rosh Hashanah, because there is a very unique kind of tefillas hatzibur, because it's not only the brachas but it's the tkiya shofar, where it's, so the whole klal has to join in that through the brachos, and the shofar has to be al seder habrachos. So he would, I don't know exactly how he did it, he would recommend people should daven a little faster, whatever, or something. Don't daven any longer than he did. Not everyone was so makbid on that. You know, other posts can say, if you're in the middle of silence when after the blowing shofar, you just stay quiet and you listen in. Interestingly, the same idea was picked up by the commentaries in the collection of halachos that many study before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, except the Yom Noroyim, called the Mat Ephraim, by Ephraim Zalman Margolius. So he put together a summary of the halachos dealing with Yom Noroyim through the end of Sukkot, and there were a few commentaries that were written on it. So if I'm not mistaken, not his own, but someone else, I forgot what his name was, the Elif Hamogain, wrote a commentary on the Matan Ephraim, so he goes also with this approach, that this is really what you should be doing during Chazaras Hashas. You should be listening attentively. Not as, you know, Rav Pinkus in his works on Tefillah points out, the way sometimes even yeshivos, they have, you know, Chazaras Hashas is Bittelsman. It's a time, you know, to learn, to catch up on other things you have to do, Tehillim, say Karbonos, etc., whatever you didn't say beforehand. He said, that's certainly not true. Certainly not true. Chazaras Hashas is Tefillas HaTzibur. He quotes as well, Rav Pinkus, the same idea. So he said, so maybe you should say that you shouldn't answer Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo.
Right.
Yeah. The Magen Avraham says.
The Magen Avraham says you shouldn't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo because you lose the block at the end. The Rishon Ruva says it like that.
Right, but does the Magen Avraham say you shouldn't say Baruch Shemo during Chazaras Hashas?
Yeah, well, because it's like, what does Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo mean? That's why. It's like a Tarta Sase, what the whole phrase means. That's why.
What
Baruch,
do you mean?
You're describing something of a Kodesh Baruch.
Yeah.
So I think Rav Shekhar
said
it's not
used to save
altogether.
Okay,
you
shouldn't say ever.
He tells us
Chazaras Hashas certainly. Okay, this I'm not familiar. Double check.
Yeah.
But the Shulchan Aruch says that during Chazaras Hashas you should say Baruch Baruch Shemo. So Rav Soloveitchik was saying, but based on this conceptual analysis of what Chazaras Hashas is, really shouldn't, because whenever you mean Yotzei Abracha. So since Baruch Shemo is a later minig, to some extent based on what they used to do in the Beis Hamikdash, where they said Baruch Shem Kavod when they heard Hashem's name, but it's not really a Talmudic requirement, so really you shouldn't say it. So this commentary, Elif HaMogain, struggling with the conceptual point that maybe you shouldn't say it, but on the other hand, the Shulchan Aruch passes it. So he says, he thinks he should say it, because after all, the post came right that, let's say, B'di'eved, you say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo in a bracha that you are supposed to be Yotzei. Like, let's say by mistake, listening to Kiddush, and you say Baruch Shemo, but you heard all the words. So you're Yotzei. Mr. Rook quotes that in the earlier post. So here too. Say there's a basis to saying Baruch Shemo, you're praising Hashem's name. So to consider it an absolute hefzik, that the halacha seems to say not, because you are Yotzei b'di'eved. So he's not willing, based on this analysis, to override the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch that you should say Baruch Shemo, but conceptually it would have made sense to omit it, and the Soloveitchik even went to that extent to do so, as did, I believe, the Gra earlier, that also going with this approach. So based on these two ideas, the Soloveitchik pointed out as follows. So we have collective communal tefillah that's being offered by each individual at the same time. That's tefillah b'tzibur. And then we have collective communal tefillah that is said by a representative of the community. That's tefillas hatzibur chazaras hashas. And that's exactly those two themes that we are asking Hashem to accept in this bracha. We ask Him to accept the tefillos amcha Yisrael, meaning everyone davening, and by extension, even the individual is not there in shul, but still, he's still part of the klal, so we hope that his tefillos to Shema be joined with the collective of the others as well. He's certainly not going to get the full power of it, because he's not davening at the same time with them in shul, which is why parenthetically they point out that even if you have to, for whatever reason, daven at home, you should try to time it, you should daven at the same time the community, so at least a little bit you'll join with them, so to speak, in the Shari Shemayim, that it should be going in at the same time. That's the tefillos. But then we also ask for Hashem to accept the tefillas Amcha Yisrael Barachanim. And that's a tefillah to accept the Chazaras Hashas.
They should change it when they do Chazaras Hashas.
I'm sorry?
They should change it when they do Chazaras Hashas.
Means
they
just have tefillah. Okay, but that's a good point. Just look into that. I wonder whether Soloveitchik addressed that, but you don't do. You do the Shliach Tzibur were saying the exact same Nusach. So you have these two themes of the collective all together and one representing the klal. That's a theme you have as well in other areas of Ashkafa too. Let's say the Avoda in the Beis Hamikdash, especially in Yom Kippur, but really the whole year as well. It's one carbon that's being brought on behalf of the klal. It's not a whole bunch of people together bringing the carbon. So based on that, so Soloveitchik wrote, we'll try to elaborate on this more when we get to Ritzei. Ritzei is a tefillah not only for acceptance of tefillah, but that our tefillah should be transformed and elevated to become like a carbon, absent of Beis HaMikdash, when we now actually bring Karbonos, which is why there's a reference to Ishei Yisrael. Ishei Yisrael is a reference to Karbonos. And we speak about the return of the Shechina to the Beis HaMikdash because we're referring to Karbonos. We'll speak about that more later, about whether we're when we say Ishe Yisrael, we're davening that our pseudo korban should be accepted, or we're davening for the korbanos eventually to be brought. But either way, it's linking tefillah with korbanos. If that's the case, then there's no room to speak about tefillos in this bracha, because there's no such thing as a communal korban that's brought in the sense that everyone is bringing it, their own korban together, and that's a korban tzibur. Even the korban Pesach is not called a korban tzibur. That's a korban yachid. Now, it happens to be it's a unique kind of korban yachid because it's a korban yachid that's zmano kavua, meaning it's brought at a certain time, and because of that it has a certain ramification in halacha that it could even be brought in the state of tumah if most of Klal Yisrael are tummy. But it's not a korban tzibur, it's a korban yachid. Korban tzibur, which is what we are trying to say in this tefillah here, to convert our collective tefillah as a korban tzibur, so that you only have of the second kind of prototype, where one korban is brought, the korban tzamid, the korban musaf, whatever it is, on behalf of the klal. That's why the Soloveitchik suggested, and this bracha is very precise, that we only speak about tefillah. Tefillah, not tefillos in the singular, because it's a reference to tefillah hat tzibur.
That I'm missing tefillah hat
tzibur. Why would anybody willingly do that?
So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that that's why it shouldn't be done. It shouldn't be done. Now, the Rav also mentioned this as well in Shal Shudit, and he pointed out that the reason that even certain yeshivos they have such a practice to do it. It was based on a whole philosophy that was instituted by Rav Chaim Volozhin, who was very instrumental in creating ground rules of Yom HaShivas, that absolutely you got to grab every single second for learning. So, and now again, it could be Rav Chaim Volozhin wasn't going with all the results of approach, which is surprising, though, but I think the Torah did. That's the way very well to put it. But he did raise somewhat of a question mark on it. Why in certain yeshivas they don't do it. But certainly, just for convenience, let's say at a wedding or whatever. So there's really no halakhic basis to what you have it is, you know, it's right before Shkia. And you're not going to be able to daven further. So then, or it's Erev Shabbos, and people are not going to be able to do Kabbal Shabbos, so you make a high Kedusha. But as a result, Reggie pointed out, all things being equal, if you do Ha'ayach Kedusha and then you have an opportunity later, so you have to then say Chazar HaShat because you weren't Yosei Chazar HaShat. You know, so if that group got together later and when they have time, and they would have to say the Chazar HaShat, but they're right, you are not getting that power.